which hasn't got any real life behind it. And all its protestations of love and goodwill are hollow. So you see, it is in the most basic, simple situation. A mother has a child. She got it by accident, you know? And she thinks, oh heavens, now I'm all tied up, full of responsibility and so on, I can't stand it. So I really didn't want to have it, and I... Oh, no, I mustn't think that thought. All good mothers naturally love their babies. And so when she gets the baby, she says, darling, I love you, but her milk is sour. And the baby gets the other message. And the baby's mixed up. And it would be much better if that mother said to the baby, listen, you're a pest and you're a nuisance, and I didn't want to have you around. Well, then they understand each other. And everything's clear. There's no confusion, there's nothing mixed up here. And two, when you feel somebody is a pest and a nuisance, and you really let it go and you tell them so, you're apt in a while to get a sense of a kind of humorous feeling about it. That you can begin from telling them that they're a damn nuisance, and I wish you'd just disappear and get lost. After a while, you say, yeah, you old bastard. You know, and it begins to have a kind of affectionate feeling to it. So, to sum up, what the mystic primarily feels is the divinity, the glory of whatever is. And when we apply that to the moral sphere, what is what one feels genuinely. And this must always be admitted, always allowed. It doesn't mean to say, let me emphasize this, it doesn't mean that we always are therefore compelled to act upon the basis of what we feel. That is to say, to kill the person we hate. Hatred does not necessarily lead to violence. It is unacknowledged hatred that leads to violence. Honest hatred can be expressed in much simpler ways. But the expression, the recognition, the acceptance of what is honestly felt is the moral equivalent of the vision that whatever exists is a manifestation of the divine.
Your It continues with Session 3, The Game of Yes and No.
Now, it has been announced that I would speak this evening about the I Ching. I should just say then briefly that the Book of Changes is thought to be the oldest of the great Chinese classics, and to date from perhaps as early as 1300 BC. Although perhaps the figures of which this classic is a discussion may be much earlier than that, they may go back to the earliest phases of human thought, because the I Ching really is the ground plan of the way in which the Chinese think, and not only the Chinese. It's almost a mapping of the thinking processes of man.
And it may surprise you to know that the system of arithmetic, which is used by digital computers, came from the I Ching. We have a binary system of arithmetic in which all numbers may be represented by 0 and 1 in various arrangements. Is you is or is you ain't. So there's a sudden, unexpected link between the most sophisticated mathematical machinery and a book originating at least 1300 BC. But what the I Ching really goes into is this question of is you is or is you ain't. It sounds terribly simple. Black or white. And we keep saying to people, you know, life isn't just black and white, or black or white. There are many shades of gray. True, but against some backgrounds, gray is dark. In another context, gray is light. And really, all colors, in fact, all information whatsoever, can be translated into terms of yang and yin. For example, when you look at color television, the signals are broadcast to your set as a stream of pulses. They could be put on magnetic tape in terms of an arrangement of pulses indicating either yes or no. This technique has reached such sophistication that with the aid of laser beams, we can translate a physical object. Let's take a complicated one. Let's take a dandelion flower gone to seed, a dandelion clock. You take a dandelion clock about so big, it can be turned into a formula, passed through channels, enlarged to any size, say this big, and with laser beams cut in solid plastic in a matter of moments. So that you can get this reproduction of a three-dimensional object. But the transition between the two was handled simply in terms of pulses. So likewise, the nervous system is so constituted that the neuron carrying a message either fires or does not fire. If it fires or if it's activated, that registers as a yes. If it is not fired, the absence of firing is represented as a no. And so you could say that all your perceptions, in all their variety and all their color, are made up of a vast composite of little yeses and little noes in every conceivable variation. So out of these two come everything. Yang means the positive, and yin, the negative. Yang is identified with the south or sunny side of a mountain, yin with the north or shady side. And note this moment that you cannot have a one-sided mountain. Imagine it. And this then is the crucial thing that one must understand about the Yang Yin philosophy, and it is represented in the symbol of a circle crossed with an S curve, one side of which is black and the other side is white. And so they're like two fishes. And in the head of the black fish is a white eye, and in the head of the white fish there is a black eye. These two sides are interdependent because the black one is outlined by the white one and the white one is outlined by the black one, and they chase each other in the form which is really the double helix, the pattern of the spiral nebulae, and also the pattern of lovemaking between many, many kinds of creatures. The spiral folding into itself, black chasing white, and white chasing black. Now, obviously, white and black are as different can be. When we say of someone that he's an awful liar and a con man, he say, why, he could prove it to you that black was white. But strangely enough, black is white in a certain sense, and white is black. If you take the copulating word is to mean implies, because black implies white, and white implies black, or positive implies negative, and negative implies positive, because you can't have the one without the other. So to put this into clear words, we can say explicitly, black and white are different. But implicitly, that is to say, by implication, they are one. So exoterically, outwardly, the positive and the negative of life are very different. Life is different from death, and good is different from evil. But esoterically, the secret is that they are one. As God says through the prophet Isaiah, I am the Lord and there is none else. I form the light and create the darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. But that information is not normally handed out from the pulpit. So we have to begin then seriously considering yang and yin, black and white. First of all, if I have a black background, somehow I am tempted to make a white mark on it. If I have a white background, I am tempted to put a black mark on it. Because if there were nothing to see but black, that would be tantamount to being blind, because there would be no difference. Nothing would matter. Nothing would make a difference. So there wouldn't be anything. Likewise, if everything were white, it would be as good as being blind, for there would be no difference. It is only by contrast, when black and white are put together, that we know black as black and white as white. However, now, when I look at a small white circle or disk on a black background, or a small black disk on a white background, I once get this in my thought: which is positive and which is negative? Does black represent the negative because it's dark, like night? But when I look at the black dot on the white background, I think the black dot is the thing there, so that must be positive. It was put on. And therefore the white represents negative because it suggests nothing. No mark, like white paper behind the print. Blank, blanche. The English blank and the French blanche, which means white, is the same. Blank, negative. Isn't this mysterious, you see, that both white and black can play the negative role? But then let's think of white as light. and it's playing the positive role. And when we think of black as the thing, the mark, then it's playing the positive role. See? Both can play the negative and both can play the positive. But still, you can't have one without the other. I look at the black with the white dot. And I say, is that a white glowing sun in the night? Or is it a hole through a wall? In which case, the black will be the thing and the white the absence. I look at the black dot on the white background and say, yes, obviously the black dot is the thing, but on the other hand, it may be a picture of a white box with a hole in it. You see? They're reversible. Therefore, some reflections about these. It isn't easy for a human being, the way we've been trained, to notice that you can't have one without the other. Because our attention has difficulty in seeing both sides at once. You know that Gestalt image where you get two faces in profile and they are drawn as black silhouette. So you get two faces in profile about to kiss. But then look again and you notice the white ground between them and it is a cup like a chalice. What have we got here? Kissing faces or chalice? People have difficulty in seeing both together. You must have one or the other. Either will do, but make your choice. It's like, are you going to be a boy or a girl? Either will do, but you have to choose one of them. And yet, bodhisattvas are always represented as hermaphrodite, as being, as it were, bisexual, transcending sexual differentiation. Because after all, everybody who exists is the result of a boy and a girl. Boys can't be boys without girls, and girls can't be girls without boys. They are very different. Et vive la différence. But by nature, by reason of their interdependence, they're one. Talking of the bees and the flowers, where there are bees, there must be flowers. And where there are flowers, there must be bees or some sort of insect equivalent. And this implies that the bee and the flower are really one organism. The head of the body looks very different from the feet, just as the bee looks different from the flower. But a complete body requires both head and feet. So the head and the foot are obviously one organism. It's less obvious with the bee and the flower, but they are one organism. What is very difficult for us to see, however, is that solids are all of a piece with spaces. Now here comes the thing, you see. Take a situation in which we say, of a given figure-ground relationship, that the black is the thing, the black letter on the white page. We say, yes, it's the black letter that's important. That's the thing. But supposing it's a white letter on a black page. Still, we say the letter's the thing. That's important. All right. So we say we look out in the sky at night and we see the stars and the planets. We say, that's what's there. That's the thing. Around them is darkness and nothingness, corresponding to the area of the magnetic tape which isn't magnetized, which delivers no message, and therefore the message zero. But that, you see, does deliver a message. Absence speaks.